Millions of Americans heard Amanda Gorman recite her moving poem, "The Hill We Climb," at President Biden's inauguration on January 20th.
When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace.
Her poignant delivery and passionate words also captivated audiences abroad, leaving international publishers clamoring to get her into print, which in turn meant choosing international translators. By one count, the poem has now been translated into 17 languages. All of the translators approved by Gorman herself. So it came as a surprise when one translator, a white non-binary person in the Netherlands, quit after criticism that they did not share Gorman's skin color or life experiences. A second translator, a white man translating in Catalan, also was let go for the same reasons. The controversy has created factions in the translation world. And let's bring in linguist John McWhorter. He's a professor of English and comparative literature at Columbia University to talk more about this issue. Professor, welcome.
Thank you, Tanya.
Let's go back to the beginning of this controversy. It began when a Black Dutch style writer for an online site argued that it was incomprehensible that a translator who was not a spoken word artist, a young female, and unapologetically Black was chosen to translate her poem. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I think that crucially, the main trait in that description, the one that all of this hinges on, is the color of Amanda Gorman's skin. And this complainant's idea is that it's incontrovertible, that there's no controversy over the idea that the defining trait of Amanda Gorman is that she's Black and may have had experiences of racism in her encounters with white people. And she certainly is Black, and she certainly may have had those encounters. But the idea that that part of her should determine who gets to translate her poetry is very interesting, because we don't have that conversation when thinking about all the other facets of people and how they may not match up between, say, the poet and their translator. There's a sense that when it comes to Black people's relationship with white people, then all bets are off, and suddenly we can't imagine that person's artistic statement being rendered in another language appropriately by someone who isn't of her color and hasn't had those particular kinds of experiences. I find that a dehumanization of her.
A dehumanization of Amanda Gorman.
I do, because I know that these days we're being taught that it's a kind of higher wisdom, that the essence of American society is white people's mistreatment of Black people, and therefore the essence of being a Black person, such as myself, is your mistreatment at the hands of whites and how you mentally grapple with it. That is a proposition, and it's one that I find extremely reductive of the entire human beings that we are. And I think too many of us Black people are encouraged to have this reductive sense of ourselves. And by the way, Amanda Gorman is not one of them. She's not the one who called for the Dutch translator to pull out.
Right. She actually approved this Dutch translator. But let's take a step backward and talk a little bit about what translators are actually trying to do, because it's not like transcribing a trial. There's so much that relies on interpretation. As Nuria Barros, who translated the poem in Spanish, says, it's about imagination and conveying concepts, not so much being stuck in the confines of individual words. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's very important, because what Barros is saying is that we're talking about art much more than some sort of mechanical transliteration of exactly what the other person said. And one thing that we can imagine an artist might be good at is putting themselves into the heads and souls of other people. And so the whole idea that there's going to be some sort of mistranscription, as if we were talking about how DNA replicates itself in somebody who's not like Amanda Gorman translating Amanda Gorman, is extremely unartistic. The whole discussion that we're having about all of this is one that seems to quietly call on us to fashion a sort of studied numbness to what art is in favor of acknowledging that we know that racism exists.
But more on what you're saying here, Barros actually wrote this scathing editorial in El País saying that the criticism over who translates ignores some central tenets of translation, like the literary quality of the work produced. and that the goal is to become invisible as the translator and embrace all voices, in effect dissolving themselves and being reborn into others. That is what you're saying, is like aspiring to try to understand so you can translate. But is that really possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, some people will be better at it than others. But then notice that in this whole debate, we're being asked to pretend that the measure of being good at it is being able to channel the very particular experience of a Black person experiencing racism at the hands of whites. That's one of about 1,000 things that might happen to a Black person that might constitute a Black person's soul. And in general, you can ask whether a person can subsume themselves into another person's soul in that way successfully. But then, on the other hand, we can also say this: a person's soul is certainly not the slights they may have experienced from white people, or the fact that they sense that white people don't see them as completely whole.
I mean, also what I'm hearing from you, I mean, does this also kind of speak to this idea that there needs to be multiple translations of works? Is that part of the solution? We see that with other translations of works. There have been multiple interpretations of a work to let various translators express their vision of it.
You know, that would be really interesting, because then if you had, say, the old white guy does a translation and then the hip, young, Black spoken word woman does a translation, you could see the differences. And not only would you just have interesting differences in translations, like you have interestingly different translations of Shakespeare, but we could actually evaluate, is it true that likeness of life experience when it comes to the issue of racism makes a translation better?
Nuria Barrios, the translator that I mentioned earlier, worries that this type of censorship could be lethal for translation. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, because the truth is that in many countries, for example, there just aren't that many translators of color. And you can say that that isn't right. You can say that that isn't fair, but that leaves it true. And so it means that sometimes there really might not be somebody who's appropriate according to these metrics that we're coming up with, or it might be, and I know we're not supposed to say this, but it might be that the person or two who are available are transparently not as qualified to wield the art of the translation of poetry as various other people who've been doing it for a living or as a lifetime avocation. I've frankly heard that that's the case in one country where I'm sure this exact same thing is about to happen. Going forward, I think that we need to realize that it's not wrong to seek a translator who's had the same kinds of life experiences. It should be one of many metrics that come into play. But the idea that you turn down somebody in late middle age who's translated all sorts of things, including ones having to do with race and racism, because they're not somebody who themselves is Black and hasn't suffered racism in the sense that the poet has, that's just too simplistic.
Professor McWhorter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.
That's linguist John McWhorter on the controversy over translations of inaugural poet Amanda Gorman's poem, The Hill We Climb.